Hey guys, and welcome to Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Today we'll be discussing the Disney classic Hocus Pocus from 1993, directed by Kenny Ortega, and we'll also be talking about Michael Dougherty's super popular 2007 anthology film, Trick or Treat. These two movies aren't currently streaming for free right now, but they're some of our favorite Halloween movies, and we wanted to do something special for this episode. So we decided that we're going to do them anyway.
And we're
going to
do what we want.
Yeah. And you know, these movies are super popular, and if you haven't seen them by now, you probably won't. I mean, maybe not Trick or Treat. That one's a little bit more new, but if you haven't seen Hocus Pocus by now, it's just not something that interests you. So we're not ruining anything. It's a Disney movie. You can guess the ending. Like, it's not we're not really spoiling anything. Okay, so but first, let's get started with a segment we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
This one was recommended by our Twitter friend Stacy Beth. Thank you, Stacy Beth, for sending us this tweet for the movie Pet. You know, I remember seeing this trailer before, and I forgot about it. I don't know how I did, but anyway, this movie Pet is due for theatrical release December 2nd. It's directed by Charles Torrens, who did Apartment 143, and he's doing the new ABCs of Death 2.5. It's also written by Jeremy Slater, who has done quite a few episodes of the new Exorcist show, and also wrote The Lazarus Effect. Wah, wah.
But I never saw that.
I don't recommend it. And he also helped on the screenplay for Death Note, which is Adam Wingard's new movie. Apparently Simon Barrett isn't writing that one. So
interesting.
Yeah. So this is a new team. This movie looks crazy. Like,
it really does.
It looks nuts.
I don't like seeing Dominic Monaghan from who you'll know from Lost.
Yeah.
And Lord of the Rings.
Who plays such a happy character usually?
It makes me feel so uncomfortable seeing him be homicidal.
Oh my god. He's like, is he homicidal? Because he kind of just seems obsessed.
Know.
Like, he doesn't
being, like,
look
a creepy kidnapper.
Yeah, he's definitely a kidnapper. But there doesn't
I don't like seeing him be creepy.
I don't either, but that's good. Like, I like it when they do awesome. Things like that. They totally do that in that movie Creep with Mark Duplass, where it's like, you're used to seeing him like this happy, funny dude, and then he ends up being totally creepy, and you're like, what? It makes you feel even more uncomfortable. I love it when they do that. Yeah.
The same thing with Stanley Tucci. Lovely Bones.
Oh, yeah.
Where he played like a creepy child molester murderer. And I'm like, Stanley Tucci, I hate this.
Yeah, no, Stanley Tucci's like super lovable dude.
Yeah.
Usually. Yeah. But I love it when they do that. Remember when they did that in Dexter with John Lithgow?
John Lithgow.
Oh, my God. That was the creepiest.
The Trinity. So
that
good.
That was the creepiest season ever. I loved that season.
Me, too. It was best season of Dexter, for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get back to Pet, by the way, because we totally went off on a tangent there. But I just think this looks great.
Fun twice.
But the cool thing about this movie, okay, so usually I feel really weird about women being kidnapped and, I don't know. Like, I have a hard time with that type of stuff, usually. But this looks different in that she looks like she has quite a bit of power over him and uses it. There's definitely like a power struggle happening, and it's not one-sided at all. So that makes it a little bit more interesting, I think.
Yeah, I 100% agree. She definitely seems to have an effect over him because it looks like he's been stalking her for a while and he knows a lot about her.
Right.
And so he probably feels some sort of relationship. And so, like, even in the trailer, he says that he's trying to protect her or save her or something like that. And
yeah,
I think it's going to be interesting, and I'll definitely see this movie.
I will too, and I feel like there's definitely a lot of unknowns or like a lot of weird stuff happening that you don't see in the trailer.
Oh, for sure. Which so, I like everybody.
Yeah. You can tell there's something different happening that you don't know about because she looks so powerful even when she's like covered in blood, and I don't know. There's something like almost I don't want to say feminist, but almost in that, like, I don't know. She looks like she looks tortured, but she also looks like super in control.
Yeah,
and
she
takes
control of the situation. She's not a helpless victim. She's
no, not at all. So I think that makes it so that I'm into it. Like, I could definitely see myself doing watching this movie. So I'm down. I'm excited to see it. So it's coming out in December. So maybe we can do a little spoiler-free review of it if we both want to go see it.
Definitely.
And then we also watched, I'm sorry, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. I try to just jump in and do stuff, and then I'm like, I hope Carly was done talking, because I kind of talk over you sometimes. I apologize.
I'm good.
Okay,
don't
if
worry.
I ever do that, just feel free to, like, shut me up.
I'll be like, hey.
Hey, I am not done,
enough.
Bitch. okay, so it's hard, too, because we're recording over Skype, so sometimes there's a little bit of a delay, and it seems like you're not saying anything, but then sometimes it comes after I start talking again. And when I record, I'm like, oh, I keep talking over her. Sorry. Or when I'm editing it. Okay. So, and then the other movie we watched was Split, which is M. Night Shyamalan's new movie. I don't know. I've been burned by him so many times.
Yes. Yes, we all have.
It's
but all his other movies didn't have what this movie has, and that's James McAvoy and split personalities.
Did you see his newest one that came out? What was it called? The Visit?
No.
I heard that one was decent. I never saw it.
I kind of stopped after, was it Lady in the Water?
You watched that movie? I'm proud of you.
I think I saw that movie in theaters.
Really? I stopped after The Village. I was so mad. I was so mad after The Village that I just stopped. I was like, no, I'm so mad at you.
Oh, no. I saw The Happening.
Did you?
I did.
I heard such bad things that I just didn't go back.
It's hard because, like, his movies aren't bad. The first half to three quarters of them are really good.
Yeah.
But then it's the end that kind of just ruins the whole thing.
I don't think he's a bad director, but I question his writing capabilities sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think he doesn't always know when to reveal things and how to reveal them. And I think he's gone downhill. He got so excited about twists that he forgot that there's other parts to a movie. And
yeah.
It worked really well in, obviously, in his first few movies. Like, everyone loves Sixth Sense, and everyone loves, not everyone loves Unbreakable, but they should. I love Unbreakable.
Unbreakable is a great movie.
And I love, love, love Signs. I'm going to rewatch it this month for part of my 31, because I love that movie. I still love it. And
it's so good. I haven't seen it in a really long time, actually. I should probably rewatch it.
Yeah, it's great. It's still fun to watch. I mean, there's funny parts. The characters have great emotion and stuff going on. And, I mean, there's always that weird religious thing that seems to pop up. But, I mean, that's pretty normal in horror movies, let's be honest. There's always some sort of religious something. Well, not always, but usually. And, but then The Village, I just got so mad. I was like,
Sixth Sense, obviously.
I was so excited for monsters. And when I found out there were no monsters, I was... spoiler alert. I was so mad. If you didn't see The Village by now, you just shouldn't. Just don't
bother.
Yeah,
you're not going to.
I was so mad in the theater, I almost walked out. Because I was like...
I was expecting that twist.
Really?
I knew, yeah.
That
I,
early
I,
in
I,
the
like,
movie, though?
I called that before I saw it, but it still... Yeah. It would have been nice to have something... different. It would have been nice for the twist to be that there was no twist.
Right. Or that it was something different. Or just have it at the end where the twist is supposed to be.
Yeah.
I was so excited for a monster movie that when 20 minutes in I found out there wasn't any monsters, I was so upset. I was like, I don't even care what this movie's about anymore because I just wanted monsters and now I don't have monsters.
Have you watched Wayward Pines at all?
Yes, I have.
What do you think about that?
I liked the first season up to a point.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I kind of knew it was happening, I cared for it a little bit less. The acting in that is cheese to me. Yeah. Like, all of the acting's cheese.
That's what I heard. I haven't watched Wayward Pines, and a lot of it was because it was kind of pushed heavily as, like, being executively produced by M. Night. And so I was like, oh, so it's going to be a disappointment.
It's actually not bad. And it's based on a series of novels. So he's not really writing it. He's just doing the screenplay for it. And I actually don't even know if he wrote the screenplay. I'm just assuming he did. So don't take me at my word. But he...
Yeah, it looks like I think he directed an episode and...
Yeah. I know he produced
then executively produced
everything. So
I don't think he wrote anything.
It's definitely an M. Night Shyamalan project, whereas you're just not really sure what's happening, and then there's a twist, and then there's another twist, and then there's another. Like, it's a good project for him, honestly, and I don't think he did a bad job with it. I kind of stopped watching after the first season, because what was happening the second season just didn't interest me, but that's not his fault. That's part of the novels. It's following the books, from what I understand. So, I don't know. I think the first season's worth watching. It's fun. It's not like... I don't know. The first few episodes, especially when you're trying to figure out what's going on, it's, like, really fun to, like, try to guess. And, I mean, you'll never guess.
You won't guess.
I mean,
but
maybe
you can try.
Maybe you will, but, I mean, I came up with, like, three different ideas of what was happening, and I was wrong. So, anyway, I liked that. Let's talk about Split, though, because that's the whole point of what we're really going off on tangents on these trailers. But
I would see this movie. I really like James McAvoy. I don't think I've seen anything of his that I don't like. And especially him playing, what did she say, like 27 different personalities and like changing his body and whatever. Like, I feel like even if the movie doesn't have the content, I guess, like just watching him would be enough for me.
Well, I see what you mean. Like, as an actress, I could see how you would be interested in this kind of project for an actor who is playing multiple roles and all of this type of thing. I personally think his acting looks bad in some of the parts. Mm-hmm. I like him in general, but when he does that little kid thing, I'm like, no, that's not even a little bit realistic.
He's Hedwig.
Yeah, that just seemed cheesy to me. But I don't want to say, I mean, I only saw a little clip, so maybe it's different, but the rest of it looked all right. There's a little bit of a psycho thing happening. I like how, I mean, it's kind of sad that they revealed that he's the woman in the trailer, because I thought that would be kind of fun to go to the movies and have no idea it's about a person with split personalities. And
I 100% agree.
That would have been really cool.
But
sometimes the production companies are the ones that choose what's in the trailer, so maybe he didn't get a chance to do that.
It definitely, I would have liked it to be more of a teaser than anything else.
Yeah.
For sure. Than like a, this is what you're going to come see.
Yeah. So, I'll probably see it eventually. I don't know that I'll see it in theaters. We'll see. If it gets good reviews, maybe I will. All right. Anything else for Split?
That's it.
Okay, if I didn't say that before, I apologize. It's due for theatrical release January 20th, so not too far from now. All right, so let's get into Hocus Pocus.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So I picked Hocus Pocus as my movie because I love this movie. This, I feel like Hocus Pocus is the reason I like horror movies. I know that's a really weird thing to say, but it's true.
No, I think it makes sense. I mean, I feel like there's definitely kids movies that kind of can push you in that direction.
Yeah,
for
and
sure.
This is a Disney movie, but it's not all Disney. You know what I mean? It doesn't all feel like Disney, and there's definitely some stuff in there that's not normally in Disney movies.
Yeah.
But just to give a little background on Kenny Ortega, who's the director, he's done a bunch of episodes of Gilmore Girls, which if you follow me on Twitter, you might know I am a Gilmore Girls fanatic, which is, people crack up when they find out I like Gilmore Girls in horror movies because they're kind of polar opposites. But,
I've never seen an episode of the Gilmore Girls.
And that's fine. I love it. I grew up watching it.
I hear great things about it. Like, even I have guy friends that, like, love the show. Like, I hear it's a great show.
Well, because here's the thing. When it came out, and this will probably be the only time I talk about Gilmore Girls on the podcast. I will try to keep it to a minimum because I could have a whole separate podcast just on Gilmore Girls, but the Gilmore guys already have that covered. They don't need me. But basically, the show, Gilmore Girls, was on the WB, and it was marketed as like a Dawson's Creek. It was marketed as like all those types of like teen drama shows that like came out at that time. So a lot of people wrote it off as like garbage.
That's why I never watched it, because I was like, cheesy name.
Yeah, it's a horrible
station.
It's
not Buffy.
100% a terrible name. Not even a particularly interesting concept, but the writing is so good, and the jokes are hilarious, and, you know, they talk really fast, and some people don't like that. But Amy Sherman-Palladino, who's the creator of Gilmore Girls, basically would write these really long, really, really long scripts, like 100 pages for a 45-minute long episode. So, like, you know, they have to talk fast. A lot
they
happens.
Have to talk fast to get it all in.
Yeah, for sure. And it made this show, and the jokes are hilarious, and they're timeless jokes, most of them. You know. So they reference all sorts of things, and it's a great show. But anyway, Kenny Ortega directed Gilmore Girls, some episodes of Gilmore Girls, and he also just did the newest Rocky Horror that came out. He's doing a new Dirty Dancing movie, and he directed This Is It, which is the Michael Jackson documentary. So he's done quite a bit of stuff, but he doesn't really do scary in general. Yeah. He's not a horror director. He's more of a Disney director.
Yeah.
And he's very good at it. But I absolutely love this movie. I love it. Were you like 8 or 9 when this, 7 or 8? I think I was like 8 when this came out.
Do you remember? Yeah.
Are we the same age?
Maybe not. Maybe 9. Well, this came out in
93.
Oh, 93. Yeah, I was 8.
Okay. Yeah, we're the same age. I just wasn't sure if we were. So, yeah. I
wasn't sure if it came out in, like, 93 or 95, so I was like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And this is mostly nostalgia for me. I'm going to be honest. Rewatching this, I totally see why some people don't like it, but it's just so nostalgic and wonderful to me. When I was 8 or 7 or something, when the trailers for this movie came out, I was petrified of this movie, and I was probably too old to be scared of it. Like, 8 years old, and I'm scared of, like, a
Why
Disney trailer.
Are you scared of this movie?
I was a wuss. I never watched horror movies growing up at that age. I didn't know what a horror movie was, and this was probably the scariest trailer I had seen up until that point. And I'd never seen anything scary, so I didn't understand really scary stuff. And Bette Midler scared the crap out of me. She had those buck teeth, and they freaked me out. And I rewatched the trailer today because I wanted to see why I found it so scary. And the beginning of the trailer is genuinely pretty frightening, like, for a kid, I would think.
I feel like I've never seen the trailer.
I recommend it because, like, towards the middle and end of the trailer, you can see there's, like, funny stuff happening. Mm-hmm. But at the very beginning, which is probably the point where I ran out of the room because I was scared, like, Bette Midler is talking about breaking backs and killing kids, and she has these crazy buck teeth, and she looks terrifying.
Bend the bones and break them.
Yes, exactly. They just show that part, and there's, like, creepy music underneath it. I'm like, fuck, this is scary. But, you know, my family was like, you're not allowed to be scared of things like this. It's stupid. My mom's like, that's Bette Midler. You're not allowed to be afraid of Bette Midler. She's
you
queen.
Are, yeah, you're not.
My mom was like, she's a queen, and you need to love her. So
that's
I went.
True.
I did eventually see it, and I loved, loved, loved it, and then I, like, stopped being afraid of things and started watching scarier and scarier things. But I genuinely give credit to Hocus Pocus for that.
Yeah, I always wanted to see this. My grandma, when I was growing up, lived in Danvers, Massachusetts, which is right next to Salem. Mm-hmm. And so we used to go to Salem a lot. And I had, like, this, like, fascination with witches when I was little. And so when, like, Hocus Pocus came out, I was, like, so excited because, like, that's where it took place. And I was like, oh, I need to see this movie. It takes place in Salem. And I was, like, so excited.
Yeah. So great. I know, I got really into witches after this too.
And the trio, I mean, they're just amazing all together. And
they are.
Thora Birch, who I recognized in other like kid movies and stuff like that. So I was just like all on board for this movie.
Yeah, I mean, the script is really fun, and yeah, sure, there's a ton of plot holes, but, like, they're stupid plot holes.
It's a kid's movie, get over it.
They're plot holes that kids aren't gonna understand, and even some adults aren't gonna, like, the year the witch trials ended was before, like, who cares? Like, no one's doing a history project
on
this.
I'm not watching this movie, like, false.
Yeah.
That's not real.
Yeah, and then I also, like, a few people on Twitter had mentioned that the children in this movie are extremely obnoxious and hard to watch. But they're kids. That's kids are normal. Kids generally are kind of obnoxious, aren't they?
Obnoxious.
I thought, I mean, there's nothing wrong with
especially
it.
Especially when you have like a little sister.
When you're a kid. Yeah.
Who's tormenting her big brother.
Totally.
Who's trying to get at the girl.
I actually think Thora
like,
Birch
that's just an obnoxious situation.
Yeah, she's actually less obnoxious than the teenagers in this movie.
I agree. I like
it. Max is probably my least favorite character, but whatever. He's Max, right? He has to be kind of dumb. Someone has to light the black flame candle, and they have to be dumb to do it. So
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you've got Ice.
Ice. Oh my god. I love that whole scene in the cemetery.
So good.
He's like, nice cross trainers. First of all, no teenagers call sneakers cross trainers.
Cross trainers.
No one's ever said that. And they're not nice. They're just white. They're ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. It's so good, though.
Oh, and the parents. I love in Disney movies or like kids movies when the parents are just totally clueless and have no idea what's going on.
The mom dressed as Madonna is, like, one of my favorite things of all time.
So great. So great. I love how this Disney movie just doesn't give a shit about being a Disney movie. It's like, you know, she's Madonna. She's got these big cone breasts. And, like, they say virgin a bunch of times. What other Disney movie do they talk about virgins?
Yeah. I remember being like, what is that? But, like, not caring.
Yeah.
I was a little, like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's one of those.
He's one of those virgin things.
Yeah.
And they also, like, I don't know, they hint that Allison isn't a virgin, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Because she's not the one that lights the black flame candle. And, you know, she gives kind of a little, like, wink, wink when it's time for the virgin to light the candle, you know?
Yeah.
And she's so much more mature than him. Like, way too good for him. In every way.
She definitely is.
I don't know why they kiss at the end, because...
Because they went through a traumatic experience.
Yeah, I guess. He has that on his side, otherwise I don't think that would have happened.
And he saved them, kind of.
Yeah. And they talk about yabos. They talk about boobs.
Yabos. Max likes your yabos. In fact, he loves them.
The greatest thing ever.
So good.
It's hilarious. I love how like 90s kids movies are like that. I feel like if I could compare this in terms of comedy to any other movie, I would think like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or something. Is this that got that like 90s kids comedy feel, you know?
I love Beaches. I mean, sorry, I was looking at IMDb.
That's not really related, Carly.
Beaches. Not at all. Even sort of, like, Hocus Pocus. Real depressing, in fact. But you are correct. I do love that movie.
I love Beach.
don't look at words and try to say something else. Otherwise, you'll say things that are weird on a horror podcast.
I'm so not cutting that out. It's my favorite thing ever. Oh my god. I love Beaches.
Keep it in.
Well, you're on Bette Midler's IMDb page, I assume.
I am, yeah. Because I wanted to see what she did before.
Yeah.
Because I know as a little kid, I had seen her in other things. And I think that that one thing, she was in Oliver and Company, which I don't think I knew when I was little, but I definitely saw Oliver and Company.
Well, and it's a cartoon. It's like, really seen.
But, like, my mom was super obsessed with Bette Midler when
my mom is too.
Like, loved Bette Midler. So I'm pretty sure I saw Beaches, like, a million times.
Yeah.
circling it around and bringing it back to beaches.
I remember my mom had like this musical performance of Bette Midler, like some mm-hmm. Bette Midler concert on VHS, and she would play it all the time, and I would just sit and watch it with her because she's like, so this is Bette Midler and she's awesome. Yes. And she is awesome.
Like CD of her all the time, and I will never forget, like, there's certain songs that, like, I just have ingrained in my head forever
yeah.
that are sung by Bette Midler because of my childhood and my mother.
She really is fantastic. And
she's magic.
She really she's is. Great. She really is magic. And, like, just watching interviews with her, and, like, I follow her on Twitter, and she's fucking, like, so smart and has such good social commentary on there. I really enjoy following her on Twitter.
She's so smart and witty. Really, and, like, really. She is... She will crack the whip. She's so great.
She is so great. If you're a woman younger than us and you're not familiar with Bette Midler, like, just follow her on Twitter. She's fucking phenomenal.
Do you know she's 5'1"?
Well, of course she is. All of us smart girls are 5'1".
She seems larger than, like, life.
Right. I'm sure she's always wearing heels, that girl. She rocks the heels.
Now I need to see how tall Sarah Jessica Parker is.
Did you know Sarah Jessica Parker and Bette Midler had the same voice coach, and Sarah Jessica Parker would like hide and like listen to Bette Midler's like warm-ups and stuff and try to mimic her?
That's so funny.
She's like so in love with her. Both her and
I would probably do the same thing.
Yeah,
because Bette Midler is a goddess
for sure. And Kathy Najimy also like was totally obsessed with her and would, like, show up at her hotel rooms and, like, try to get her to, like, see her and stuff. It's crazy. It's really awesome that they both got to work with, like, their idol, basically. They both idolized her and yeah. loved her. So that's so fun.
That's awesome. Because I know Sarah Jessica Parker grew up, she was in Annie on Broadway when she was little. So since she has, like, a huge theater background, I'm sure she was already, like, super obsessed with Bette Midler for, yeah. like, a really long time. So that's
for
so
sure.
cool.
For sure
that's
she was.
That's so cool.
For sure she was. Yeah. And they both, Kathy Najimy and Sarah Jessica Parker, do sing the backups for I Put a Spell on You in real mm-hmm. life. So they both can sing. I mean,
oh yeah,
Kathy Najimy
no,
was
yeah,
in...
Sarah Jessica, she was on Broadway.
Yeah.
Sarah Jessica Parker. First
yeah.
role. She was in Annie. There's like a whole documentary about how like it was really weird being like a child actor because you're basically like, once you get to a certain age, especially in that show, you're like thrown away. Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
It's true. I remember like when I was growing up and they had like tryouts for Annie and it was like this huge thing. And there's like documentaries about it on TV, and it was all over the place because it was such a big deal when they were casting that musical. I don't know if it's still on Broadway, but I would assume if it was to be on Broadway again, it would be a big deal again because that's like yeah. that's like a big, huge role for a young girl.
Yeah, yeah, for just young kids in general, for sure.
Yeah,
which is great. Oh, did you see that Bette Midler totally dressed up as Winifred Sanderson for Halloween this year, which is like my favorite.
I did see that. That was awesome. I love her. Okay, let's talk about this movie some more.
Welcome to the podcast where we just talk about how much we love Bette Midler.
This is the welcome to the Bette Midler podcast. So there's some other non-Disney things about this movie. They basically kill children. So that's a thing that you normally don't see in Disney movies.
Yeah.
Or, like, regular horror movies.
You know, they suck their souls out.
Yeah, usually child death is something that movies tend to avoid, unless necessary.
Unless your pet cemetery.
Right?
Or Trick or Treat.
Or Amityville, the remake.
Ugh.
I totally forgot that Trick or Treat had a child death until I rewatched it, and I was like, oh, shit! That's one of, like... That's one of our Let's Make a Monster episode. That's one of Tali's requirements, is that there's no child deaths in the movie.
I always feel like when it happens, I'm like, oh shit, they went there.
Yeah. I like how the bullies have absolutely no idea what trick-or-treating is.
Ooh, ah!
I laughed so hard, I rewound and watched that part again. Because I love that part so much because he's making fun of him for trick-or-treating, but that's not how trick-or-treating goes. It's very confused.
I will tell you, I went to Mickey's Halloween party and trick-or-treated the hell out of that place, and it was the most fun I've had in years.
So. I want to go so bad. I'm going to go with you next year. We're going to go together. Yes. And we're gonna have a portable recorder, and we will interview people at Disneyland.
I'm pretty sure the cast members thought we were insane because, like, especially, like, Steve would run up to them and be like, trick or treat! And I would be like, happy Halloween! And like, have a good night.
They're like, you're not children.
Here's your candy.
That's really fun. Oh, my God. Okay. There's also, they also hang the witches at the beginning of this movie, which is genuinely terrifying.
Yeah. You see their legs dangling.
And they do some kind of creepy chant, and then they are hung. And that's how the Disney movie starts. They kill a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
They get hung and do some kind of weird chant. That's how the Disney movie starts.
Yeah. And Sarah Jessica Parker is like super sexy and just trying to like hit on everyone and show her boobs and be a babe.
I love her. She's such a babe in this movie. I remember thinking she was so gorgeous when I saw this. It wasn't until I was older. I remember, like, the first time I heard someone making fun of her looks, which, by the way, is fucked up. Don't do that. But I remember the first time I heard someone making fun of her, like, calling her a horse face or whatever asshole people say about her. And I was like, but she's Sarah. She's gorgeous. All the boys want her.
I still think apparently, she's a babe.
Apparently, you didn't see Hocus Pocus because everyone wants Sarah.
Totally. I love her.
I do too. I think Sarah Jessica Parker is absolutely beautiful.
Me too. I love her. Forever. Okay. Like Bette Midler.
Forever. Yeah. And Kathy and Jimmy too. I love all of them. They're all lovely. You know, Kathy and Jimmy like almost didn't take this role because she didn't want to be disrespectful to women or witches. Which is pretty interesting. Yeah, she talked to she wrote letters to the producers and the director before she took this role, and she fucking talked to Gloria Steinem before she took this role. She, like, had a full-on conversation with Gloria Steinem about what she thought about her portraying a scary, ugly witch when, you know, she didn't want to be insulting towards women or witches. So, because she also, like, knew about actual witches in real life, like...
Pagan.
Pagan spiritual witches. And she said she didn't want to be disrespectful to that group of people. And she didn't want to portray or perpetuate a negative stereotype. And when she talked to Gloria Steinem, they had a discussion about how witches, women who were considered witches back in the day of the lynchings and the burning at the stake and whatever, the trials, were actually medical workers and would perform abortions and things of that nature for women who didn't want to be pregnant. And so if a woman would go visit them pregnant, come out not pregnant anymore, they thought that the witches were eating the babies. Like, that's what they came up with. And that's where the whole eating baby thing came from. I don't know. It's just really interesting. I'm glad she ended up doing the role because
nobody else could have done it like her.
She's great.
She was so perfect as
Mary. But I just thought that was really interesting. Like, she's just a very, like, aware and sensitive person. Even in the early 90s, like, that's some hardcore shit. Like, most women wouldn't have even thought twice about that. I don't even think I would have thought twice about it. And I consider myself a feminist. You know, I really love that about her. And she spoke out about it in interviews in the early 90s, and I'm sure people looked at her like she was nuts. She's like, I just want to be respectful towards actual witches. You know, I get to see so many people at home rolling their eyes in the early 90s at that comment.
Publicists are like, don't talk about acknowledging witches.
Can you please stop talking about witches? Thanks. Yeah. Just like real witches. They're not real. You know, like that type of thing. But bravo to Kathy and Jimmy. I feel like all of the, like, Bette Midler is obviously a uber feminist, and I'm sure Sarah Jessica Parker is too. So it's kind of cool to have them talking about it. Anyway, I just thought it was really interesting that she decided to talk to Gloria Steinem about it. Like, I guess if you're having a a weird feminist inner turmoil crisis, about something, yeah. Like Gloria Steinem would be the woman to go to. She's our lady, you know? She's our guider.
That's awesome. Okay, if I knew her, I'd be like, hey, I'm going through this dilemma.
For sure. If I ever had a feminist dilemma and I could call Gloria Steinem, of course I would. Oh, we're such women today. I love it. Okay. All the guys that listen to our podcast are going to be like, what the fuck are you bitches Blurry. Talking about? We're feminists. Deal with it. Okay, so what else? The bullies are hilarious. I love how they just left them there to die. This is horrible.
In the thing, in the cages. So good.
They're just going to die there. It's so horrible. Like,
yeah.
Usually the moral at the end of a Disney movie is be kind to people, even if they're not nice to you, because they have something else going on, you know, or something like that. It's not like... So if you have a bully and they're in a really shitty position, just leave them there and they'll figure it out. He just took his shoes and ran away. So
he's
fucked
like,
up.
Yep. Have fun up there.
Have fun there dying because you can't get out of these cages hiding. Tied up high so you can't get out. Oh my god. I can't talk.
I remember having a huge crush on Thackeray Binks.
Oh my god. Everyone did. He might as well have been Casper.
Yeah. Seriously. I'm like, I've seen him in zero other things, I feel like. But
yeah. Oh my god, but he was a heartthrob for sure.
He will love it.
Yeah, and the same with Devon Sawa and Casper.
Oh, like, absolutely.
All the girls
well,
liked him.
In Little Giants, I remember having a crush on him in Little Giants,
oh, yeah.
Too.
I just remember watching Casper with my friends and just rewinding the end over and over again to when he walks down the stairs because you're like, oh, Stephen Sawa. I rewatched that movie recently and I was like, ew, he's such a little kid.
Yeah, he's such a little kid, but he was so dreamy when we were little.
He was, but it's so funny to watch like a tiny boy and like a part of a movie that you like were obsessed with as a child. Because he was so hot, and now you're like, ew, he's like 11.
And so you're like, creepy. This is awkward.
This is really
uncomfortable. And then fast forward to SLC Punk, and he plays this, like, crazy kid that gets, like, overdosed on acid.
Way too much acid. Oh, my God.
My, how the mighty have fallen.
This is a tangential episode. Lots of tangents.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's entertaining.
That happens when you talk about like favorite movies from when you're younger. Like it's true. You just have all these memories that kind of get attached to it.
It's so fun. It's so fun. Anyway, I love Pocus Pocus. I think I'm like, I really want to show this movie to my niece and nephew and see how they like it because they were about the same age that I was when it came out. And yeah.
It's
I
like
think
a staple.
My nephew just turned or is 10 years old, and he is just starting to learn that Aunt Amy is kind of crazy and into scary stuff. And my sister kept showing him a picture of, like, this skull I have in my house. I call her Eleanor. And she's just like a skull painted gold, and I love her. And he keeps asking my sister if he can see the skull. And he's like, Aunt Amy's cool because she has Halloween decorations she keeps up in her house all year round.
Like... You're gonna be the cool aunt.
She's like, well, I don't know about that, but I'll be the weird aunt for sure. I'm definitely the weirdest one. I don't know if I'm the coolest one. We'll see. My brother might have me be in the cool department. He buys some cool gifts. I'm like, here, you want this book? They don't think that's cool. Here,
I bought your own.
Here, I got you socks. Like, those are the kind of gifts I give. I'm terrible.
Everyone needs socks.
Everyone. There's just so many family members that always get them toys and stuff, so I, like, feel bad. I'm like, I'll get them something else. I got them umbrellas once. I'm, like, not good at it.
You're the functional aunt.
I am. I'll get better at it. I just started taking them places when I visit because I don't know how to deal. Okay, we can stop talking about Hocus Pocus now since we never really started.
Basically, we love this movie.
Basically. And it's mostly for nostalgic reasons. But I still enjoy it. It's not like one of those movies you go back to and you're like, ugh, why did I like this? It's more like,
whenever I see it on TV, I always watch it. It's like, oh, I'm going to stop and I'm going to watch this movie because it's fantastic.
Sure, it is. And it's not, I feel like it's probably playing on TV a lot, but if you don't have cable like I don't, it's never streaming. So I highly recommend taking a stop by Target and picking up a copy for $3 because they have them for $3 right now.
Oh my God, I'm going to go buy one then. I didn't see it. I feel like I looked the last time I was there. They were probably sold out.
No, they might have been. There was just a giant box of just Hocus Pocus DVDs when I went.
Oh my gosh.
You should have told me. I would have picked you up one.
I should have.
If I go back and they have it, we can do it. Okay, so let's get into your choice, Carly. You want to talk?
My choice is Trick or Treat. Woo! Written and directed by Michael Dougherty. It was originally, I guess, supposed to come out in 2007.
Yeah.
But it got shelved. Partly, they didn't really say for sure why. Partly, it speculated that it's because Saw 4 was coming out at the same time that they were going to release Trick or Treat, and they didn't want the competition. Another reason might have been because Michael Dougherty also wrote Superman Returns, and it was produced by one of the same people, Bryan Singer, and that movie didn't do very well, and so they didn't really want to take a chance on it. So it just got shelved for 2 years and finally got released straight to DVD in 2009.
Oh, did it really? I didn't know that. Because it does say 2007 on IMDb, so I just assumed it came out in 2007, but that's really interesting. Yeah, no,
they put it on the shelf.
See, that makes sense to why I didn't find out about this movie until later, because that makes way more sense now, because I don't even remember seeing trailers or anything for this movie in 2007 or whenever. So I feel a little bit better now that I know it didn't come out till 2009. Not that that's still kind of a long time, but I think I watched this movie for the first time in last year, so 2015. Because it was on HBO Go. I really knew nothing about it, and it was on HBO Go. And I think the horror show or one of the podcasts I listened to talked about it, and I was like, oh, I should probably check that out. And so glad I did. I love it. This is probably one of my top anthology movies next to Creepshow. So
it's so perfect.
It is.
And there's just so many good things about it. And it really, I mean, Michael Dougherty didn't really direct anything previous to Trick or Treat. He had this cartoon that he made that was called Season's Greetings, which is where he kind of came up with the character of Sam.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just right afterwards jumped into, he had written a couple things. He wrote the screenplay for X-Men 2. He wrote the screenplay for, I think it was the last Urban Legends movie, Bloody Mary. And then the screenplay for Superman Returns.
But he also did some cartoon sushi, which
is Season's Greetings.
Oh, yes. Is it?
Yeah, that's the episode called Season's Greetings where he creates
Sam. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. I'll see if I can find it on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
I used to love cartoon sushi growing up.
Me too, actually. I don't really remember too much of it, but I remember watching it.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is his kind of his directorial debut almost, you know, and not in the cartoon world, I guess.
Right.
And it's phenomenal. He did such a good job. And there's a lot of really cool things that I learned while I was like doing research about this. Yeah. I don't know about you, but like even in movies, especially in real life, when I see jack-o'-lanterns that have been smashed, I get really emotional about it.
I do too.
Oh, that poor pumpkin. And like pretty much all of the pumpkins that they used were ceramic or made out of foam. And there was like an ongoing joke on the set that no pumpkins were harmed in the making of the movie, which I think is really cute. It's like, oh, that makes me so happy.
I love all of the pumpkins. It makes me want to just decorate my whole front yard in pumpkins because it looks so gorgeous.
Right?
Oh my God, beautiful.
It looks like magical when you see that. Like,
totally.
It would be a pain in the butt to actually do, but it looks so cool.
It really does. It looks amazing. I guess if you got like a lot of those little tiny like fake tea lights, the battery powered ones, you wouldn't have to worry about your lawn being catching on fire. Like, I mean, we live in Southern California. We have droughts. So it's not really a smart way for us to do it unless it's battery powered, but very cool.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I'm happy that no pumpkins were harmed.
Me too. So there's a total of, what, 5 stories, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're all intertwined.
They are.
If you, like, watch it a million times, like I have, you'll constantly see different people from other stories in the background of other stories, which kind of gives a hint to, like, the chronology of the film, because obviously it's not filmed in chronological order. It's kind of all over the place.
Right.
But there's a lot of cool hints or, like, nods. Like,
Well, at the end, you can kind of tell, too, because, like, with the car driving by with all the girls in it, and I think you can even see the kids. Yeah, the kids are trick-or-treating at the end, and, yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. Very cool. It's
actually funny, because a lot of the kids that they that are in the movie are actually little people, because they filmed mostly at night, and kids can't, like, legally work those hours that they were filming. Which I thought was really funny.
That is funny. Well, I mean, like, they're all wearing costumes. You can't tell anyway,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you can't tell. Whatever. Yeah. But it's, you can also just really tell the love that Michael Dougherty has for horror movies.
Yeah.
He said that the crazy neighbor, like Mr. Krieg or whatever, Brian Cox, his look was based off of John Carpenter.
I can kind of see that.
Yeah, right? Like, just, like, the old man look.
Yeah.
And, like, he says, you've got to be fucking kidding me, which is a nod to The Thing.
Yeah.
John Carpenter movie. And then there's another one where when Laurie, Anna Paquin, is talking to her sister, and she's, like, sitting in, like, she's sitting on the ground, and, like, it cuts to her sister who's at the bonfire. The song, it's like a remix of Cry Little Sister from The Lost Boys, is playing at the bonfire, which is kind of like a nod.
Yeah, like, for sure.
End, you know, the end of Lost Boys, there's like a bonfire massacre.
Yeah. No, I totally can, now that you say it, like, I could totally see the parallels between those two movies or those two scenes, for sure.
So there's like a lot of really fun.
With the body dropping and everything. Like, that's very Lost Boys. I didn't even think about that, but it totally is. Yeah, it's
so cool.
It is really cool. That's very cool.
And then, you know, like, the guy that they bring for Lori, like, that is dressed as a big baby?
Yeah.
He is actually in 13 Ghosts, and the guy that he plays in that, or the character, is basically a giant baby called the Big Child.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
I know. There's just, like, so many nods that you don't even, like, think about, but they're just, once you realize, they're just, like, so much fun. Like,
oh, I'm so excited for the second one. I'm so glad they're finally making it.
They're, it's definitely it's kind of in the works.
Yeah.
He said that he did this interview with Slash.
Sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say, you'd think with Krampus, like, they'd just be like, yes, please. Like, Trick or Treat was direct to DVD or whatever, VOD, and it's, like, exploded. So, and he did Krampus, which also was very popular. Like, you would think, like, people would just be throwing money at him for him to do a second one.
I think they want him to, but, like, they had, I mean, obviously he had so much time with the first one to, like, make it right. That, like, I think he doesn't want to just throw something out that he's not necessarily, like, proud of.
Totally.
But he totally said that, you know, they're doing these things, like, they made the comic book, like, last year or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I showed you, like, the trailer for the digital decorations that they came out this year.
So cool.
Which are so cool.
They're really cool.
So they're kind of, like, you know, drop out these little things so that people are still wanting and in touch with the movie, so they don't, like, really forget about it, but still, you know, he can buy him some time to basically, like, make the movie that he wants to make.
Yeah. Well, and he should. I wish more directors did that instead of, you know, racing the clock to just put out something to make money. You know, if you care about your project so much that you're really willing to take the time to write and direct this thing that it pays respect to the first one and continues it, like, I'm down. I can wait. I can be patient. Although I just found this movie last year, so it doesn't feel like I have to be as be as patient as some of you other folks. But
he did this cool interview with Slash Film, which is really interesting. He so this is what he kind of had to say about it, which is really, really exciting. He said, "I think it'd be great to make it a trilogy at least." Mm-hmm. So fingers crossed. "For me, I think every film should explore a different aspect of Halloween. I felt like the first film was the very traditional suburban Halloween that we have all have some memory of. But as I've grown up over the years, I've lived everywhere from Columbus, Ohio to New York to LA. And I find that the holiday is very different depending on where you live or even time periods. I don't see why we should be limited to just present day stories. Halloween is an amazing holiday because it evolves depending on where you live and even the time period." So like,
oh, he's so good. Yeah. That sounds so good.
Right? I'm just like, you take as much time as you need, man.
Yeah.
I'll be here. I'll be here.
I mean, that's a great idea to like, to just be, try out different areas and different timelines. Like that's, I'm excited. I'm so stoked. And I really like him. I really liked Krampus.
I did too. I wish it would have like picked a path though. My only complaint about Krampus was I wish it was either funny or I wish it was horror.
Well, it's not. It's supposed to be both. I like that it was both because that's like the genre. It's supposed to be kind of campy. The CGI. Yeah. It wouldn't have worked if it wasn't funny at all with that CGI. Like, it would have been stupid. If they tried to make it only scary, I would have been out.
And I 100% agree with that because obviously, like, horror needs that funny aspect a little bit just to kind of like balance it out.
Yeah.
But like to me, the instances were like kind of so extreme. I liked the movie anyway. I'm like not saying that I didn't like it. I totally liked Krampus.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt like I was teetering in the middle for a lot of it.
No, I feel I agree. I didn't love it. Like I remember some parts where I was like, eh. In the end, I was a little bit like, eh. But ultimately, I get what he was trying to do. I think I was just kind of expecting a different movie, I think, when I first went in. But yeah, it's not perfect, but I think it's really enjoyable. And it kind of reminds me of Gremlins, which is one of my other favorite Christmas movies.
Oh, man. Gremlins.
Which is totally not a Christmas movie, but...
But it's funny, whenever I think of Gremlins, I always think of Gremlins 2 and like the New York scene for some reason. I don't know why.
But the first Gremlins is so much better than Gremlins 2.
100% agree. Yeah. I absolutely agree with that.
Do you have a favorite segment?
Ooh.
I know it's probably really hard for you to pick. It's hard for me to pick, and I'm not even... I mean, I love it, but not as much as you do. I've only seen it twice, so...
Yeah. I really like the girl werewolves story.
I do too.
Because I like that you're not really sure where it's going at the beginning.
Yeah.
I like that Anna Paquin is dressed as Little Red.
Yeah.
And then she turns into this werewolf, which the people that did the makeup for the werewolves were people that did the lichens in Underworld, which I think is cool because they definitely have, like, a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
But I really like that. And obviously, like, the principal story, which they kind of intermingle for sure. Yeah. So... they're all really great in their own way.
Yeah. I think I liked the principal one the least.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the kids in the school bus story.
So good. Just them, like, when, like, the flashback of them sitting on the bus is, like, terrifying.
It's
those
so scary.
Terrifying.
It's so scary. I would almost say this could be, like, for brave children, like 12 years old, I would almost say, like, it's good for them, except for that part, because it's so terrifying.
It's so, like, that would give me nightmares, probably, when I was little.
Totally. It totally would. It almost gives me nightmares now. I love it. I like the really short beginning. I love the way this movie starts out, so I really like... You know, blowing out the lantern and for some reason cleaning up when you're drunk, and for some reason your mom's gonna get mad at you if you have decorations up. I don't get that part, but I really like that part
because you really get a sense of where this movie is going. You get a sense that Sam punishes people that don't necessarily adhere to his standards of Halloween.
Totally,
you're going down.
And I love the comic book part of it because it's, like, really reminiscent of Creepshow and, like, old 50s horror comic books and I don't know, it's just fun. It's really fun. I definitely felt a little bit like of a creep show thing, especially during the principal and the head reveal at the end.
Yes.
It felt very creep show, like especially the Father's Day part of creep show with the head just hanging out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I definitely can feel a little bit of an homage to creep show in this also, which is totally well deserved, I think.
Since oh, absolutely.
This movie might not exist without creep show, let's be honest. But yeah, so I really like the first, I thought that like ending shock factor of the first story was really like hit home for me and got me psyched to watch the rest of this movie. I thought it was a great first segment, a good choice.
And it kind of starts where it ends, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It really ties everything together. It's nice and short and sweet and to the point, but still kind of like gives you a little thrill at the end. I love the pulling the sheets off the thing at the end. Like, whenever people pull sheets off of things, I freak out. That's probably why I liked Oculus so much. It really gets me every time. And then I didn't remember liking the neighbor dude story. That's what I named it in my notes, neighbor dude story.
Yeah.
It's probably not what it's actually called. I really loved the ending of that. I forgot the end of his story.
Yeah.
And I really, really enjoyed it the second time because I almost just, I don't know, I forgot. So I got to relive how awesome it was over again, which was awesome. And
I love
amazing.
The lollipop dagger.
Yes.
That's so funny.
He's so cute.
Oh, it's so good.
I mean, Sam is a little bit stupid looking though, right?
I love Sam.
I almost wish I didn't have to see his real face though. Like, I wish that didn't happen.
Oh, like his pumpkin head?
Yeah.
I love Sam.
I love Sam, too.
He's so great.
I love it when he's dragging the cat in the bag.
I know.
I really do love Sam. I just think, like...
I getcha.
The head kind of, like...
We didn't need to see his head. No. I getcha.
It kind of made it worse, but... because it just looks so cheesy. Which is probably the point. Was that supposed to be an homage to actual Pumpkinhead?
It could have been. I didn't find anything about that, but...
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense. I mean, if he's basically like, you know, the product of Halloween.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
All right. Is there anything else you want to discuss? What else you got?
I love Trick or Treat. That's it.
I love it too. Thank you so much for picking this movie. This was a fun episode. I hope the people at home liked it.
It was fun for us, guys.
It was fun for us. If it was fun for you, that's just a bonus.
Yeah. We liked talking about it.
For sure. So, just to talk a little bit about what we're watching now, I got to watch The Thing yesterday.
So good.
And I don't
know. The new one or the old one?
John Carpenter.
Okay, cool.
So the middle one, technically. So not the first and not the last, but the best one, in my opinion.
The best one, for sure.
I actually don't own this movie, and I got really upset because I wanted to watch it, and I was like, wait, why don't I have this? So I'm going to have to make an effort and buy that new Blu-ray that came out because it looks amazing, and there's a poster, and I want it. I had to watch it on Crackle. But it is streaming on Crackle if you have the patience to watch Crackle, which not everyone does. At least it's free. But have That's you ever true. Tried watching anything on Crackle, Carly?
I have a really long time ago.
There's so many commercials. Way more commercials than on regular TV.
And they'll
play the same commercial four times in a row. So you'll want to pull your hair out. Yeah. It's the kind of thing where you like take Twitter breaks when you're watching it and you mute it so it doesn't bother you. And then you're like, oh, it's back on. So it has to be for movies you've seen before and if you have patience. Because I was, towards the end of it, I was like, fuck this.
I'm over this.
So I don't really recommend Crackle, and we will never use Crackle. I don't want to say never, but we probably will never use Crackle for our
unless
episodes.
There's something that we really want to watch and talk about.
Totally.
I don't think we will.
Totally. It's just such a pain in the butt to watch stuff on there. I am excited because there's so many good movies that just got released streaming. So we have so many good episodes that are going to be coming up. I'm really, really excited. I'm not going to hint towards anything yet, but there's been quite a few recent releases and releases coming up that
are exciting.
Yeah. A Green Room, to name one. I'm just like, oh.
Gonna cry when I feel like I'm just gonna watch that movie like 18 times.
Yeah.
Like every night I'm just gonna put it on.
Just like mark your calendars, boys and girls. I think it comes out November 12th on Amazon Prime, so that following weekend we will be doing
we'll probably be talking about
Green Room episode. Okay. And what else we got? Next episode is Let's Make a Monster. My coworker and good friend Tali will be joining us, and I want so badly to tell you what movie we're watching, but I can't because she listens to this and so does her husband, and I don't trust them. So I want it to be a surprise. Tali is so afraid of horror movies. Like, she does not watch them. And she had so many rules and requirements. I will tell you the rules and requirements she had now so that you can kind of guess what movie we're going to do, but I'm not going to tell you until after we recorded it. So I will say it's streaming on Netflix. I will say there was no children. She said no child deaths. Then she said no children can be hurt. She's like, actually just no children. So I had to find a movie with no fucking kids in it, which is really difficult to do, that I thought that she might like. So if she doesn't like it, that might be part of the reason. She gave me so many rules. But I think she might like it. If not, it's going to be really fun. It's going to be a really fun episode. Tali has a really big personality and is super fun to talk to. So if nothing else, it'll be a very entertaining episode. I'm so excited for it. So you have that coming up next week. Also, you might not hear this in time because chances are I won't get this out till tomorrow. But in the rare occasion I get it out before tomorrow, we are doing a live tweet Sunday. We're going to be watching Hobgoblins, which is streaming on Amazon Prime. This movie looks ridiculous. And
ridiculous.
It was on Mystery Science Theater back in the day, so people know about it. It's supposed to be ridiculous. It's a live tweet movie. So join us. We'll probably be streaming or probably be watching it, pressing play at 6 o'clock on the dot Pacific Standard Time. So if you're on the East Coast, it will be 9 o'clock and all over that. I'm a little bit sad because Coming to Get You podcast can't join us because they're in England. And I mean, maybe Richie will be able to join us because he's kind of a night owl, but I think he might be it. I also know Tab is going to be joining us from the Girls in the Back Row. I'm not sure about Kate. I think she's down also. And the horror show had to cancel because they're very busy and popular now. They're on Bloody Disgusting now, did I tell you?
You did. That's so exciting for them.
Yeah, super exciting for them. So, unfortunately, they won't be joining us. They're too fancy for us. Whatever.
But you should join us.
But yeah.
If you hear this before.
It seems like we have quite a bit of interest. I think I did a poll asking what movie people wanted to watch, and there was like 24 responses, which is kind of high for us. So
nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, we got a lot of retweets and help with that. So thanks, guys, for retweeting, and I hope you guys join us. Anything else you want to talk about, Carly?
Talk
about anything you've been watching other than your Mickey Mouse fun you had?
Other than my Mickey fun?
Yeah.
I finished Black Mirror.
You finished it. I still have one more episode. I've been saving it.
I was saving it, too. I watched it last night.
Yeah.
I
watched San Junipero.
So good, right?
It was nothing like I was expecting, and I absolutely loved it.
It was so good.
That's an episode for everybody. Anyone would enjoy that episode.
I 100% agree. It was so good. This season, super strong season.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I wasn't crazy about the one after that, the army one, the military one.
I wasn't either. To be honest, I watched that one last night as well, and I was definitely like in and out of it.
I thought that the story was fine and it was still creative and interesting. I tune out when military shit's happening. It's just not something I'm interested in. But I still watched the whole thing and enjoyed it. It just wasn't my favorite of the season. It's probably my least favorite so far. But I think after I watch these, maybe we can do a quick grading at the end of one of our November episodes where we list our top and bottom ones. That might be fun.
I'm down.
Okay.
I like that series a lot.
Me too.
I actually was inspired by you, and I went out and I bought The Crazies.
Yes.
I didn't own it, and it was $4 or $5 at Target.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
On Blu-ray. If Blu-ray's ever that cheap, you gotta get it.
Absolutely. So I got to revisit that, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Netflix just released a movie, one of their own. It looks more like a thriller or mystery than horror, but it kind of looks horror too. So I'm going to check that out. It's the I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House.
I was just going to say during our meeting after this that we need to do an episode on that.
Yeah. So I'm probably going to watch that maybe tonight. Tonight I'm going to go see Nightmare Before Christmas in 4D at El Capitan, and I'm really excited about it.
Fun. Super fun. Yeah, I heard really good things about that movie, that Netflix movie. So I'm going to check it out. I think coming up soon we should do some sci-fi and some thrillers thrown in, because we've been really concentrating on horror for October, and we're supposed to be covering all three. So I'm down to cover some thriller and some sci-fi movies coming up also. And people at home, like, please feel free to tweet at us or email us or whatever. Give us some ideas. I really want to thank Stacey Beth for recommending us to watch the trailer for Pet, because I totally forgot about it, and it's a great trailer to discuss. So thank you. If you have movies or whatever, I know I've gotten some tweets about movies they want us to do. I know Darling's one of those, and I promise I forgot the woman who recommended that one to us, but I have seen it, and I do want to do an episode on it, and so I think by the end of the year we'll do a Darling episode. So thank you for your recommendation. Anyone else, just feel free to send them. We will definitely take it into consideration. We have some ideas that we're trying to work out, but we can throw some of your ideas in as well. We're happy to do that. Okay, is that it? That's it, right?
That's it.
Okay. Oh, good. We're just slightly over an hour today. Not too bad. I just want to say a quick thank you to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone, and to Jason Link for our amazing logo. Please visit FinalGirlsHorrorCast.com for their contact information. And yeah, follow us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC. We are on Instagram, FinalGirlsHorrorCast, as well as Facebook, FinalGirlsHorrorCast. You can email us, FinalGirlsHorrorCast@gmail.com. Anything else?
That's it.
Yay.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. I think this is our official 10th episode if we're counting everything else we've come out with, even the Let's Make a Monster episodes. So happy 10th episode. And thank you guys for sticking with us and listening to us. Please, 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 we promise we'll have stickers and buttons soon. If you leave us a good review on iTunes, we will be sending you some stuff. We could use some good reviews and some retweets and some positive whatever to get some more listeners. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Have a good night.